This is The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, here with my co-host Tim Henney. Bruce Kazanoff and Amy Blaschka are co-founders of Park City Think Tank, which studies ways to drive business growth by elevating the lives of individuals a company touches. Now, it's pretty surprising that there wasn't already a think tank in Park City. This is, after all, the perfect place to both get some needed perspective, but also to connect with the amazing people who both live and visit here. Until 4 months ago, when Bruce and Amy formed Park City Think Tank, no such organization existed here. So their goal is to transform millions of lives for the better. They believe that every organization should elevate all the individuals it touches, including employees, customers, partners, and investors. Tonight, they're going to tell you a little bit about what that means at an event at the Rockwell Room. That's on Upper Main Street. It's an event sponsored by Silicon Slopes Park City. It's taking place from 5 to 8 p.m. Amy and Bruce join us now in the studio. Welcome to both of you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So I think the best way to perhaps ask you to explain Park City Think Tank is to start by explaining both of your backgrounds a little bit. And Bruce, you are a very fascinating guy. You have, is it really 850,000 LinkedIn followers? Can that be? Was there a zero added?
Yeah. It seems to be true.
How do you manage that?
I don't know. So I've been on LinkedIn since 2012, and when their influencer program first started. So I just, you know, I hit a lot of singles, meaning that I just publish a lot, but I've been writing about doing well by doing good for that whole time. And Amy and I met each other through LinkedIn 3 or 4 years ago, 2015. Yeah. And so we both are storytellers. I'll let Amy tell her own thing. But really, my whole thing is, we 2 years ago, we talked about the idea of content coming from Park City. That's been my obsession. And recognizing that those followers and that reach around the globe creates an opportunity to take, you know, a mountain town like this and to share it widely. And that's what really intrigues me, is to leverage that for good.
Yeah, great. And Amy? Hi.
So, yeah, Bruce and I met a few years ago through LinkedIn. And, you know, what's great about the power of social media is its ability to connect people all over the world. But that comes through content. And ultimately, the content comes from people. So I've had a career that's varied from tourism. I was a branding consultant. But at its core, it's always about people and connecting it and having that message that resonates. So I'm a storyteller, work with thought leaders to help them connect and tell them it's not really about you, it's about how you can work with others. So the idea of teaming up with someone like Bruce, who obviously understands the doing well by doing good, who wants to transform lives, wants to do all those good things and make content a central part of that, and attracting people to a beautiful place like Park City, what could be better? So who wouldn't want to be part of that? And you know, we do want to transform millions of lives. And I think this is the way that we're going to be able to do it and touch many, many people and allow them to actually kind of continue that forward.
I have so many questions, but first, and I've asked you guys this before, but why Park City? I mean, you could go to, you know, other communities and not even call them mountain towns, but other really amazing places globally and say, this is a place of content and we're going to share it outward. And you also have an outward and inward message, but that's my second question. So the first question, why Park City?
Yeah, so I've been obsessed with doing this here for reasons I don't really know.
Yeah.
You know, there's the practical, it's half an hour from the airport. But I think that, you know, I've been coming here for years and I recognize that there's a unique type of person who's attracted here, both people who live here mm-hmm. and people who come here. And in the 5 years I've been here, I've just seen that to be true. You meet people on the lift, you meet people on the trail who are fascinating and who are doing amazing things. And I think Park City also is a little bit in the middle. It's not as hoity-toity, excuse me, as Aspen maybe. It's not as isolated as some of the other places. And so it just felt right. It was instinctive that we come here. So.
And Amy, what about the inward outward? I saw you talking about sharing the message outward and connecting with people outward, but mm-hmm. you know, doing well by doing good. Am I right?
Yep. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, good job.
You also talk about everybody that the company interacts with or touches. You say touches, but it's interact with.
Right.
And so you list employees. Now, that's an inward. That's looking inward and defining yourself inward. And what do you, I mean, is there an egg and chicken here? Do you have to define yourself inward before you can effectively define yourself outward, or vice versa?
Well, I think we'll get into some of those things with sort of our Elevate model and the way that we kind of have this philosophy and framework. But essentially, you know, even if you're a successful company, you're doing great, you're driving hard, right? All these, you know, startup mentality, that works to a certain point, but you're going to end up burning people out in the process, or you're going to burn bridges with your, you know, relationships with your partners or something. At its very core, business, life, it's about relationships. You have to be aware of other people and kind of how you enter a room, the energy that you bring. What's going on with Tim today? What's going on with Lynn today? You know, and really be able to relate at that level. And once you do that, then you can kind of collectively come together and do great things. But if you take out the human, if you don't humanize, dehumanizing business never works, not for the long haul. You're not going to be able to do that. So there's something, you know, we kind of have a few different things going on in this conversation with the inward and the outward. I think it starts with the individual. It starts with you. It starts with me. If you're a leader that has a team, it has to start with you. You set the tone, but it also sets up the expectation that your team needs to support you in that way too. So everybody has to rise and elevate to help the other. And when you do that collectively as a team, that projects outward too, to all the relationships, so to your clients, to your partners, to your investors, anybody that really matters, that is an important audience for you.
I think it's hard to overstate how dehumanizing a lot of businesses, that people just, you know, it's like, we pay you, so just do it. You know, Gallup organization says 70% of employees in the United States are actively disengaged. They hate their job. Mm-hmm. They're not bringing their best to work. And so the status quo, it's just horrific. And for way too long, companies and executives have just, not all, but most, have just accepted that. And one of the main things that we're doing is saying that is completely unacceptable.
So as we know, being actively disengaged is much worse for a company than their employees being just unengaged. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they're actively doing something that harms the company. And so it is interesting to me that it's taking companies such a long time to recognize the power of elevating others. Why do you think that is?
I think because it's hard. It's hard to think about interpersonally. You know, it's hard to actually, you're tired, you're rushing to get here, you're rushing to go to the next thing, and to stop and say, Tim, you know, you seem a little, you know, off today. Are you okay? Do you want to talk? That takes effort, you know. And so, for example, with employees, to actually know what's most important to them. Not like, I'm not here necessarily as CEO to make your life perfect, but why are you here? What's important? So when I want to do something for you, what would be valuable to you? Maybe it's not money. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's something else. And so it's harder, but it's not impossible. And one of the main things that we're trying to get across is, if you do that, if you talk to people as people instead of as employees or customers, you know, whatever it is, that you will get a better outcome. Although the short and maybe even midterm to that is more effort. So it's harder in the short run, way better in the long run.
I was reading something that Warren Buffett said, and of course he's the perennial businessman, right? But he said the most important piece of business, of anything, is communication. And it's communication about listening before you speak, giving positive feedback, getting all the facts before you assume things. It was interesting to me that he came out with that, right? But I'm wondering, what are the elements that you see of a successful think tank?
Of a successful
think tank. And the reason I ask that question is because we've heard a lot about think tanks. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us go, what exactly is a think tank? A bunch of people sitting around preaching to the choir, maybe? A bunch of people innovating and creating? I don't know. What do you see as making it work?
Well, we think of our think tank a little differently than most think tanks. So, you know, most people probably think tank, it's pontification and sort of policy. You know, the way we look at it, we're it's gathering smart people together to do amazing things, to find solutions, to do things that, you know, just because they're interesting. What can we do? And, you know, we don't want to overcomplicate things. We don't want it to be, it should be fun. It should be enjoyable. We should kind of elevate and lift everybody in the process. So, you know, we want to work with companies that understand that there's a better way. We can elevate each other and in the process, you know, do well by doing good, as you said in the beginning, Tim.
And we're also going to be doing things. So, for example, Lonnie Main, who I know you know, we're publishing his first book, which is Red Shoes Living. So we see an opportunity to work with people like Lonnie he's a successful keynote speaker, been a successful executive, has lived with his philosophy of Red Shoes Living for 25 plus years already. We're helping him to build that out. That's a key function of the think tank help you get the book, get it out there, get workshops. How do you work with individuals? How do you scale it? So we're really kind of an amplifier of positive ideas that have been proven someplace. We really don't want to be speculative about, oh, this sounds like a nice fad. We don't want to do fads, but to help build out and spread globally. Tim, your first question about, you know, well, how do you leverage your following? We want to amplify people's messages.
And I'm wondering about, Lynn mentioned that, I just lost my train of thought on my question. It keeps dropping out of my mind.
Must be a really good question.
It is a good question. So help me here. Ask another one and let me come back to it, and I'll interrupt
you. Okay, come back to it. I want to talk briefly about, so Silicon Slopes Park City chapter, we had Adrian Stalder on Cool Science Radio last time before Lonnie Main spoke with Red Shoes Living. So this will be the third in the series of Silicon Slopes Park City chapter. First was Jeff Atkinson with Huckabye. Yep. It's in the Rockwell Room. 268 Main Street, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and that is above OP Rockwell's in the top level. Yeah. So there are three levels of
And Branded
this.
PC will be on the main level today, right. So it's going to be crowded. So just go up the stairs above Branded PC.
Right, and you can stop and shop while you're at it at Branded PC.
Because bring a gift.
Exactly. What a great event that was. So this will be upstairs. And what I find about the Rockwell Room is it's a co-working space. It's a community of people that are really making things happen. I get so inspired when I go and listen to the various people. And Bruce, you work there every day. So how do you characterize what's going on in that Rockwell Room?
So it's a unbelievable atmosphere because it's wide open. It's historic. You look out the window, you're at the top of Main Street. There's literally always people coming in. And it's really a combination of mostly entrepreneurs, but very Park City. I've been in an incubator in Connecticut before, and it was a very different vibe. This is, you know, uniquely, you know, I came in, we walked in yesterday, and there were skis and snowboards, you know, just littered in the space. There's TVs going. There's about 8 or 10 dogs there some days, you know, a lot of dogs. And so it's very creative, and it's very collaborative. You know, Sanctuary Utah is there. They're building a whole community out in by Powder Mountain. So you kind of get pulled into conversations that you didn't expect to have, which then leads you to get out of your, you know, we're talking about like tunnel vision and echo chamber. And so it's very hard there to do that, which is probably the best thing.
And the event is from 5 to 8 tonight. I've noticed before that if you show up at 5:30, say, you can't make it there till then, you're fine because there's lots of networking and socializing that happens for quite a bit of time before you.
5:30, 20 of 6, right in there. 5:30 is safe. That's usually when it starts, the content.
Great. Do I have time to ask my question?
You do.
So
I'm so glad you recalled.
Lynn asked you, Bruce, you know, why haven't companies taken this path in the past? And that got me wondering about the environment and sort of, you know, are we in a new environment where the Amazons, the eBays, the Facebooks, the Googles are doing something different than the traditional model? Because that's a lot different than building automobiles on a factory line where people, you know, worked for 40 years and retired with a pension. None of that exists anymore.
Right.
So the entire landscape has changed so dramatically. Is that part of a driver that in order to achieve success and kind of get beyond the threshold of just doing okay, you know, making money and your quarterly reports and paying a dividend and all that, but to be super successful in the new landscape, do you have to take a different path, which is this kind of, you know, everybody we touch has to be part of the team, have a new view of what's possible and how to achieve it, and we all got to get there together.
I think it's yes and no, because I think if I looked at Amazon, Amazon is basically Walmart, and, you know, 500,000 employees, and I don't think they are better than, you know, Walmart is, and they're probably equally, you know, in that. I think some companies, you Google, which really values, you know, intelligence and innovation, and does. So I think it's a bit of both. I think that always, and this is what gets lost, is it's there are some people, whether they're the first, you know, the most junior person in the company or the founder of the company, who they're just, you know, people talk about servant leadership, or, you know, they're just good people, and they choose to run their business that way. The thing that terrifies me about technology is that people start to think technology is the answer. Until we have robots running all of the world, it's always going to be people to people. It's someone is deciding to buy my service. Someone is deciding to work with me or for me. It's, and the technology doesn't change. It's people. And the technology is really the thing that's just distraction that obscures that reality.
Well, it's good to know that there's always going to be people to people, and there's a need for relationship, because I know that's a huge concern. And there's a lot of disruptive technology that's displacing people have kind of relied upon those relationships in the past. Wall Street's gone through an incredible transformation where it was relationship-based when I worked there in the 80s and the 90s. And everybody I know today says it is so different. You wouldn't believe
it's brutal. Not the index same funds. Business. It's pennies now. They fired BlackRock. Biggest asset manager in the world fired half their portfolio managers because they have index funds now. And it's a different world.
New advancements in artificial intelligence, I learned this last week on Cool Science Radio, actually are something called, and I love this, there's hope for us, common sense scientists. It's an actual job.
Nice.
Because it's introducing the human element back into artificial intelligence. It won't move forward without it. And so elevating others, doing well by doing good, is really what we need. It's on the forefront of really innovative thinking, what the two of you are doing. So tonight, 5 to 8 p.m., the Rockwell Room, 268 Main Street. It's not O.P. Rockwell's. It's not even the street level. It's the next level up.
The highest possible level. It's
you
elevated.
You have to literally elevate yourself to get there. The right headspace.
That's right. Bruce and Amy, thanks so much for joining us on The Mountain Life.
Thank you
for having us.
Thank you.
And stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.